Please take your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 5, verse 16, please. James chapter 5, verse 16. I'd like to preach a message entitled The Power of Prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16. Please notice, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. James is talking about the power of prayer. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Listen to the Bible. Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Matthew 7:7-8, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Did you notice the power of that, the power of prayer? "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." From Genesis to Revelation, in every book of the Bible, you see the power of prayer pointing to. But you say, "Preacher, does it really matter? Does it really matter if you do pray and if you do not pray? Does it make that much of a difference in the life of a Christian who prays and that Christian that does not pray? Does God hear the ordinary Christian? Does God hear the ordinary teenager? Does God hear the ordinary adult? Does God hear the ordinary child of God who in sincerity prays? Does God Almighty actually listen to us?" And the answer is yes, He does. Listen to the Word of God. John 15:7, Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." John 16:24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Psalms 50:15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Can you grasp the absolute assurance of those few promises? John 14:14, Jesus said it this way, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, Jesus said he would do the very thing that you asked for. Well, my dear Christian friends, that is a promise. That is something that the Son of God said he would do for you if you'd ask. God said he would give you the petitions. Now, there are times when it does not seem that God is listening. I know what that is like. I know what it is like to pray and to pray and to pray, and nothing seems to happen. You look at the situation and nothing seems to be changing. You say, "Well, I've not prayed hard enough." So you pray harder and nothing seems to happen. You say, "Well, I've not prayed long enough." So you pray longer and nothing seems to happen. You say, "Well, I've not prayed the right words." So you work at praying it just right and nothing seems to happen. I know that feeling. I know what it is like. I know what it is like to pray and to pray and to pray and nothing seems to happen. You begin to wonder if it really matters. You begin to wonder if it really matters if you do pray and if you do not pray. You begin to wonder if it is the powerful resource that many have made it out to be in the past. Well, brethren, the Word of God assures you that it is a source of great power. What great power exists in prayer? There are a lot of things that God wants to do, that God desires to do, that God would do, but does not do because no one prayed. We are going to be shocked when we get to heaven at the things that God wanted to do, that God desired to do, that God would have done but did not do because no one prayed. So let me ask you something. Why do you think God allows difficulties to come into your life? Why do you think God allows hardships to come into your life? Why do you think God allows problems and needs to come into your life today as a child of God? Now, why does God do that? Why does God allow that? So that you might learn that what God does, He does primarily in response to prayer. As a child of God, there are things that you're going through today, things that you wouldn't have to go through. It is not the will of God that you go through, but you're going through because you're not getting the hold of God in prayer. That is not right. That is the sin of prayerlessness. One great sin among God's people today is the sin of prayerlessness. We who embrace God as our Father, Jesus Christ, God's Son, as our Savior and friend, and the blessed Holy Spirit, who is our indwelling comforter, do not take the time nor make the time for prayer. It is a great sin among God's people. One concern of the devil, our adversary Satan, is to keep Christians from off their knees. He fears nothing from the prayerless Christians. He fears nothing from the prayerless preachers. He laughs at all their toils and he mocks at all their wisdom. Have you presumed that God Almighty will do absolutely nothing about your sin of prayerlessness? He already has. James 4:2, the Bible says, "You have not because," and he gives you a reason, "because you ask not." That's the reason you have not. There is very little praying going on. Have you ever compared how much time you spend in a newspaper to how much time you spend with God in prayer? Have you ever compared how much time you spend in front of the television set to how much time you spend with God in prayer? Have you ever compared how much time you spend with your friends to how much time you spend with God Almighty in prayer? You see, folks, you tend to do those things that are important to you. The reason you spend the hours you do in a newspaper, it's important to you. The reason you spend the hours you do in front of the television set, it is important to you. The reason you spend the hours you do with your friends, it is important to you. If prayer is important to you, you're going to do plenty of it. If prayer is not important to you, you're not going to do much of it. Well, don't you see? Prayer is how you get things from God. That's why Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you," over there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. And now, He did not say, it shall be given you. He did not say that. He said, "Ask and it shall be given you." There are a lot of things that will not be given you that you need, that God wants to give you, but will not come because you did not ask. Ask and it shall be given you. It matters when you pray. There are folks in this room today who have varying degrees of need. Some are serious. Some are less serious than others. Some are to breaking points. Some of you folks are not in need right now, but you will be shortly. I simply want to remind you that there is power in prayer. God does, in fact, hearken to the voice of men, women, boys, and girls. The Bible is very clear on this. Numbers chapter 21, verse 3. "And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites." Joshua chapter 10 and verse 14. "And there was no day like that before it or after it. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man." I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt that God in His heaven waits, desiring to hear the petitions of His people. And when His people pray, God does in fact answer prayer, sometimes instantly, sometimes a little later on, sometimes a little later on yet, but you can mark it down. God does in fact answer every sincere prayer of a Christian who is right with God. He misses none. We're going to notice three things. Number one, the scriptural statement. Number two, the spiritual illustration. Number three, the conclusion. But let us pray. Please, Lord, accomplish Your will among us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Notice number one, the scriptural statement. James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this. When you pray, something is going to happen. God is simply saying there is something about prayer that is effectual. There is something about prayer that produces results. There is something about prayer that renders petitions granted. In verse 17, the Bible says, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain." What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this. He prayed prayer. It speaks of intensity. The praying of James chapter 5 is not passive praying, folks. It is not the prayer, "Dear Lord, bless the food in Jesus' name, amen." It is not that type of prayer. This is talking about prayer that is earnest. This is talking about prayer that is urgent. This is talking about prayer that is sincere and not casual. This effectual fervent prayer calls upon you to get serious about praying. Now, I don't think most of God's people today are that serious about praying. Question: how much time does it take up in your life today as a child of God? I am not saying unless you spend 2-3 hours a day in prayer that you are not a prayer warrior. I'm not saying that. There are Christians who never spend long seasons of prayer, but they pray all the time. They just don't quit. They never stop. Well, brethren, you need to get so serious about prayer that you become less concerned about the mechanics of it, that you become more involved in real, earnest prayer. You need to get so involved in prayer that you set aside eating for prayer. You need to get so involved in prayer that you set aside schedules for prayer. You need to get so wrapped up in prayer that you do every single thing that is necessary to accomplish praying, because it is your prayers that move the heart of God to action. Well, don't you see? You're not going to get anything at all from God if you do not take the time nor make the time for prayer. It is that simple. You ought to be praying all the time. Listen to the Bible. Luke 18:1, Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "Pray without ceasing." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, praying always. So let me ask you something. Does that describe your prayer life? God wants you praying all the time. God wants you to be praying about everything. Why is that? God wants you to see Him answer your prayers. So with that in mind, are you getting your prayers answered? Are you getting results when you pray? It ought to be the norm for the child of God to get his prayers answered, because God Almighty is a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. So, think with me. Why would Jesus say in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint if he was not a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God? Why would the Apostle Paul command us to pray there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing, if God Almighty was not by nature a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God? I submit to you folks that God Almighty is a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God, and it ought to be the norm for the child of God to get his prayers answered. If you can go day after day, week after week, month after month, without getting your prayers answered, there is a serious spiritual problem in your life. Now, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James is talking about prayer. He's talking about asking. The word prayer here simply means to ask. Prayer is simply asking God for what you need. Certainly, godliness has power. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, godliness is profitable unto all things. Certainly, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God has power. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But the power that James is talking about is the power of prayer, and it is great power. What great power exists in prayer? The Bible says it availeth much. Now, any child of God can pray. A 5-year-old child of God can pray and get answers. A 16-year-old teenager can pray and get answers. A young adult can pray and get answers. A married man, a married woman, single man, single woman can pray and get answers from God. A senior saint can pray and get answers from the Lord. The Bible simply says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and that is exactly where many of you miss it. You see, personal godliness is essential in getting your prayers answered. Now, God does not answer the prayers of selfish people. James 4:3, the Bible says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. If you are not living in the will of God, there is one reason: you are selfish. You see, folks, everybody outside of God's will is selfish. Everybody. Not some of them, not part of them, not a good portion of them, but all of them. There is no such thing as a Christian who is dead to self, who is out of the will of God. Because the very essence of being in the will of God is dying to self and living for Jesus Christ. The very opposite of living out of the will of God is saying, I don't want God's way. I don't want God telling me what to do. I want to do my own thing. Listen, when you are out of God's will, when you are selfish, then all of your requests reflect that selfish nature. And the reason God Almighty does not answer the prayers of the selfish is because they are not concerned about God's will. They are not concerned about God's glory. They want what they want. They want what they can get out of God. Something comes up in their life and they want to ring God's bell and say, come bail me out and I'll call you again when I need you. God is not interested in that type of praying. However, God does hear and answer the prayers of those who are right with Him, who are in fellowship with the Lord. When it comes to this matter of prayer, fellowship with God is essential in getting your prayers answered. Listen to the Bible. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What is the Bible saying? It's simply saying this. If there is a sin in your life, and you know it, and you're not willing to abandon it, you can pray for your family, you can pray for your friends, you can pray for your loved ones, you can pray for your finances, you can pray for your church, you can pray for your preacher, you can pray for all kinds of good things, but God will not hear you. Why? Because you're tolerating known sin in your life. So don't go on in your sin. Proverbs 28:13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. You say, preacher, what must I do? Well, it's very simple. You need to have your sins washed away. Remember 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. God knows everything about you. God never comes to learn anything. He is everywhere present in all places at all times. Listen to the Word of God. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of God. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Many of you have already lost power with God in your prayer life and you don't even know it. Take heed. Proverbs chapter 1, 25 through 31, God said, "Ye have set it not on my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me." Why? "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Are you listening? God Almighty is not going to answer your cry for help. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, listen to the Bible. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have had his face from you that he will not hear." Now, God does not demand sinless perfection in order to get your prayers answered. You say, "Preacher, what does God demand?" God demands that a Christian who is doing right, as best that he understands the right, doing what the Word of God says, the best that he understands it. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word availeth means to have much force. The Bible is simply saying that the prayer of a godly man is energetic and has much force to it. Prayer, when exercised properly, has much force. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, produces much, and has much force to it. No matter who you are today, no matter how long you have been saved, God is saying this. If you're right with Him, if you're in fellowship with the Lord, if you'll be honest with God, if you'll be sincere in your praying, if you'll be urgent in your praying, that those prayers will have much force to them, and God Almighty will hear and answer your prayers according to His will. If you're asking God for something and it is not the will of God that you have it, don't you worry about that. Just keep on praying. After a while, God will change your mind and get you to see what you're to pray for. If you do not know if it is the will of God that you ask for something, go ahead and ask. This is the key, folks. If your heart is clean, if your heart is pure, if you're right with God, you are in fellowship with the Lord, and you want to do the will of God, well, God will change your heart after a while. But until He changes your heart, you ask and ask and ask until either He gives you what you ask for or until He changes your heart. Prayer was not meant to be hard. Prayer was not meant to be difficult. Prayer was meant to be the sweet experience of the child of God. Well, we have noticed, number one, the scriptural statement. But notice number two, the spiritual illustration, verse 17. James chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that there might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah was just like the rest of us brethren. He had fears, he had problems, he had difficulties, but notice what he did. The Bible says that he prayed earnestly that there might not rain. Well, that's interesting. You don't read that in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit of God revealed that to James. You find out in the Old Testament that he prayed the rain to come, but you never read until you come to James that he prayed the rain to stop the first time. Somewhere along the way, Elijah said, "I don't believe Ahab is going to come to his knees. I don't believe that the nation of Israel is going to come to her knees with the worship of Baal and with the following of Jezebel the queen. I don't believe that. I don't believe that it is going to happen unless God does something drastic." Perhaps Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Perhaps God whispered and said, "Elijah, if you ask me, I will stop it from raining." Now, I don't believe God would have ever stopped it from raining if Elijah had not prayed the first time. And if Elijah had not prayed again, it would still be dry and dust in Israel today. Therefore, Elijah began to pray. After a while, God said, "Okay, I've heard thy prayer, Elijah. You go tell Ahab I'm not going to let it rain." The rain stopped for 3.5 years. Do you realize how long that is? You go just a few months around here without rain, you think you folks are going to die. These folks went 1 month and 2 months and 3 months and 4 months and 5 months and 6 months and 1 year and 2 years and 3 years in a month and 3 months and 6 months without any rain. It did not rain for 3.5 years because Elijah prayed the heavens shut. Well, God placed his miracle to the prayers of Elijah, and after it was all over, Elijah said, "I think I will pray for it to rain," and he prayed. So let me ask you something. When Elijah prayed the first time, did anything happen? Not a thing. When he prayed the second time, did anything happen? Not a thing. When he prayed the third time, did anything happen? Not a thing. When he prayed the fourth time, did anything happen? Not a thing. At this point, most of you would have been concerned about your reputation. You would have been terrified that your reputation is going down the drain, that your ministry is through. Elijah could care less about his reputation. He could care less about his ministry. All he was concerned about was getting rain. Finally, after 7 prayer meetings, Elijah prayed. The servant said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." Elijah said, "That's it. God has answered my prayer." Hezekiah prayed. It was the prophet Isaiah who told Hezekiah to set his house in order because he's about to die. The Bible says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, prayed unto the Lord, and he wept sore. Listen, before Isaiah could leave the middle court, the Lord told Isaiah, "I want you to go back and tell Hezekiah I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thine tears. I'll heal thee. I'll add 15 years into thy days. I'll deliver thee out of the hand of the king of Assyria." Hezekiah lived 15 more years because he prayed, for no other reason than he prayed. God spared Israel from destruction during their wilderness wanderings because of the intercessory prayers of Moses. God said many times, "Let me alone. I'm going to destroy Israel. I'm going to wipe them out." And you see Moses praying. And because of the prayers of Moses, Israel survived the wilderness. Joshua prayed. Joshua prayed, "Sun and moon, stand thou still." So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in the midst of the heaven and did not go down for the space of a whole day. Joshua stopped the sun and moon in its course. They stopped in their place because he prayed. They stopped because he asked God to do it. Hannah's womb was shut up, so she went to the house of God and she began to pray. Samuel was born simply because she prayed. Do you remember Daniel who gets into and out of trouble because he prayed? Well, the Bible is full of stories just like that. And what God did, he did primarily in response to prayer. I don't know what God is going to do in your life. I don't know when God is going to do it in your life. But if God is going to do something in your life today, it is going to be in response to your praying. And if you stop praying, if you quit praying, and if you do not take the time nor make the time for prayer, you're not going to get anything at all from God. Because it is your prayers that move the heart of God to action. Well, we have noticed, number one, the scriptural statement. We have noticed, number two, the spiritual illustration. But please notice, number three, the conclusion. First, nothing must hinder you in the pursuit of prayer. If the effectual fervor of a righteous man availeth much, you must let nothing hinder you in the pursuit of prayer. You must not be hindered by faithlessness. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Romans 1:17, the Apostle Paul said, "The just shall live by faith." 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Mark 11:22, Jesus simply had faith in God. You must not be hindered by faithlessness. You must not be hindered by impatience. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Philippians 4:5, the Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." You must not be hindered by known sin in your life. Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Isaiah 59:1-2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." If there is anything at all in your life today that keeps you from praying, you had better get rid of it because it is not worth leaving it there. Second, you must make time for prayer. If prayer is how you get what you need from God, and if you do not get from God what you need because you do not pray, you had better make time for prayer. Why should the preacher plead with you to pray? Why should the preacher remind you to pray? Is it because you've forgotten the great power therein? Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" So let me ask you something. Is there anything too hard for God? Absolutely nothing. In all the universe, too hard for God. All things are possible with God. Why then don't you pray? It must be that you have truly forgotten the great power therein. Third, you must have confidence in the God of prayer. Now, God has told you in the Word of God that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and he won't spend 10 minutes a day in prayer. That doesn't make much sense, does it? If you were sold on prayer, you'd rarely stop the act of praying. If you truly believed that God Almighty would give you every single thing that you asked for, you'd rarely stop the act of praying. Why then do you go day after day with your needs being unmet, with wisdom being absent, because you will not take the time nor make the time for prayer? How foolish you are. How you must anger the God of heaven when he has opened the door of promise over there in Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not," and you won't spend 10 minutes a day in prayer. That doesn't make much sense, does it? We're going to be shocked. when we get to heaven, at the things that God wanted to do, that God desired to do, that God would have done, but did not do, because no one took the time nor made the time for prayer. How foolish we are. How we must anger the God of heaven when we do not take the time nor make the time for prayer. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, no one looking about. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking about.